Your home for classic hits. AM 1570, 96.9, and Boone 102.7 FM. WILO, Frankfort, Lebanon, Delphi.
Our Encompass mobile banking app allows you to check balances, view transaction history, transfer funds, and pay loans on the go. You can even apply for a loan via our mobile app, too. Our app is very easy to download and install, and if you run into any problems, we're here to help. Encompass Credit Union, community-minded just like you. We're an equal housing lender, federally insured by NCUA. Online at EncompassCU.org.
Did you know there are benefits to window tinting other than that cool and sleek look? Keeping your vehicle's interior protected is one of those benefits. Marchand's Window Tinting does top quality window tint installation. It comes with a lifetime warranty. Located on State Road 39 in Antioch, Marchand's Window Tinting is professional and locally owned with years of expertise.
This is Alan Marchand at Marchand's Window Tinting, and we stick it where the sun shines.
TC Trailers is starting the year big with over 400 quality trailers on the lot at prices that won't wreck your resolution to save money. Cargo trailers, haulers, utility trailers, dump trailers, goosenecks, big ones, small ones, and everything in between. And when life throws a pothole your way, TC Trailers has an in-house repair shop and a fully stocked parts store to keep you rolling. So make this year the year you pull smarter. If you're not pulling a TC trailer, you're not pulling your weight. Visit tc-trailers.com.
Are your brakes squeaking or grinding? Is it time for an alignment? Before you hit the road, hit up Big O Tires in Lebanon. Big O Tires on State Road 39 can help you get back on the road in no time. With dependable service, honest advice, and fast turnaround times, Big O Tires in Lebanon is the team you trust. Stop in and talk to owner Alan or manager Lauren, or call 765-388-4715. Visit them on Facebook at Big O Tires in Lebanon to stay up to date on exclusive offers. When your car needs care, trust the name drivers rely on. Big O Tires.
People ask a lot of questions about Ivy Tech Community College. Like, can an Ivy Tech degree get me a good career? Well, some say good, and some say great. In 2 years or less, you can earn an associate degree or certificate, qualifying you for some of Indiana's fastest-growing career fields, and earning you an average of $37,777 the first year after graduation. Find your answers at ivytech.edu/FAQ. Then apply for free at ivytech.edu.
Welcome back to Party Line on WILO and Boone's Best 102.7 Party Line. Thanks to Clinton Carroll, BooneCountyDailyNews.com, Big Deals, Big O Tires, Ivy Tech Community College, Marchand's Window Tinting, Encompass Credit Union, and TC Trailers. The online telecast you can watch at HoosierLandTV.com. That's brought to you by Town & Country Glass, Witham Health Services, Tornado Roofing, Siding & Gutters, Simplify Family Dental, The Community Foundation, Stone Alley Hardware and Industrial Supply, Wesley Manor Retirement Community, Newell Gas, Welty Exteriors, Arborwood by Shoups, Big O Tires, CMIM Carpet Cleaning, Solidarity Community Federal Credit Union, Day and Ginda Funeral Home, Culligan Water of Boone and Clinton County, Shoups Country Foods, The Farmers Bank, and 51 West Event Center. Chris Ward is our guest for the second half of Party Line, and Chris is the Director of Recovery and Addiction for Healthy Communities of Clinton County and also the Director of Trinity Hope Center. Thank you for coming in today on A, short notice, and B, a day that a lot of people are still lucky enough to be laying in bed.
I appreciate you having me. How's my favorite radio people?
Hey, we are so good. You know, we have no complaints today. We're looking forward to 2026, which is kind of funny. When you look back on 2025, what are kind of some of the things that stand out in your mind?
It was a good year. It was a solid year. We had a ton of momentum coming into 25 with regard to addiction and recovery services. So the money has been coming in, which obviously we're extremely grateful for, and that's allowed us to to operate in a way that maybe we weren't able to the first couple of years. We had to kind of watch what we did. We were constantly begging for money, but these grants and funding opportunities have allowed us to kind of broaden our reach and allow us to do things that kind of make it shiny and new again, excite people to come and be plugged in.
Well, explain to folks exactly how it works for you. What's a typical day look like for you? There's no such thing as a typical day, is there?
Yeah.
Okay, well, give us an idea of a day.
Sure. In addiction services, there's no typical day, but usually what happens is we, Bud Purnell is a peer recovery coach. Joe Orange is a peer recovery coach for me as well. They'll see clients. I have just a limited caseload now just because I'm doing other stuff, but we'll see clients one-on-one. These people, and Joe and Bud, they're advocates for these people. They have lived experience in addiction, lived experience with mental health issues and things like that, and so we're able to kind of help them navigate their own recovery journeys. So they'll do one-on-one sessions, but there's a steady flow of walk-ins. It seems like it's crisis after crisis, or at least we feel like it's crisis when we're engaged in self-destruction. And so we're constantly getting people. We're working with Healthy Community Systems of Care Navigators to get people into treatment, into 28-day facilities so that they can detox and get sober. And then we're coordinating with our care team an aftercare plan for when they get out, plugging them into services. We believe the opposite of addiction is connection. And so the aftercare is more important than the 28-day facility.
I totally agree with you. Because when you're in the facility, it's around you. It's constantly.
Right.
You're like in a garage in a way. You're the person standing in the middle of a garage in a way.
Absolutely.
It's when that garage door opens and you have to walk back through that door that the real world kind of hits you in the face again.
I completely agree. Getting them plugged into mental health care services and things like that is certainly the most important. And that's how people become successful when sustained with their sustained sobriety. I think I said last time I was here, sometimes I say that my alcoholism didn't start until I quit drinking. And it's because, if anything, the drugs and alcohol are a remedy. It's a way to deal with, underlying issues. And I say that because there's several other addictions, right? There's food addictions, there's addictions to behavior and people and relationships, things like that. And they all tend to work the same. And so, the healthcare treatment, the mental health care treatment is more important, I believe, than just a 28-day facility, because you're working through things like trauma and trauma is the Greek word for wounding. And so when you think about trauma, sometimes what we do in recovery is we try to build this awesome life. We try to put a bunch of new stuff in our life that helps us be sober and healthy and things like that. But we have to address the trauma, because if I gave you like a glass of water and then I dripped a little bit of poison in it and then I put a bunch of sugar in it, it's going to be sweet poison that'll kill you, right? So it doesn't matter how many good things we build, we still have to address the bad stuff, because that bad stuff's always going to be there. And it takes a very concerted effort to work through that trauma. The trauma's like a wound, right? When especially this time of year, we talk about things like triggers, New Year's Eve parties and things like that. No, we talk about triggers. The trigger is a very small part of a bigger mechanism, right? Like you need a weapon, and then you need an explosive charge, and you need the ammunition. So in the grand scheme of things, the trigger is a small piece. But in context, it's up to us to mitigate those triggers. But if you think of trauma like a wound, anytime if our wound's open, right? If somebody even lightly touches it, we tend to over it. We're just it hurts,
yeah.
Right? It's a new wound. So once that wound gets scabbed over and starts to callus a little bit, then it's easier to touch and things like that. And so I'm saying all this to say that it's so important to focus on everything else. And I believe that sobriety is a byproduct of a healthy recovery. And so it'll just happen, right? I think sometimes we get really hung up on this obsession for a consecutive number of days sober. The 12-step philosophy has led millions of people into a very successful life and things. And so I have no beef with that. In fact, we teach that and we facilitate that. But this obsession with consecutive number of days sober, I believe, is not in our long-term best interest. I think instead we need to focus on building something that we're proud of, and then sobriety will just come, right? I'm the last person that you'd probably expect to say this, but I don't believe that every relapse is a bad thing. I just don't. I think that we learn from each thing, I think each time, and recovery is not about perfection. Otherwise, we would just be recovered, right?
Amen.
So I think that we're going day through day trying to figure out what to replace the self-destructive behavior with, and it's a journey. It's a journey. We're going to try a lot of new things. It's going to fail. We're not going to like a lot of things, but eventually, I believe, as long as we're persistent, we're steady, we're consistent, we stay with things, we make little goals for ourselves, I think that it works.
I feel like, and I don't know how we got so lucky in our community. Actually, I do know how. We have some senior leadership in our community that has allowed this to happen, where we can have welcoming arms to a recovering community. But looking ahead, how do we keep moving forward? Because we have been so fortunate. We've had leaders that have said, hey, you know what, let's take these people in. Let's help them get better versus just get them out of, we don't want to see them. I mean, so how do we continue to move forward?
Yeah, I think it's keeping addiction recovery alive and keeping it in the conversation, keeping it in public, recovering out loud, right? Each year we have an event down at Prairie Creek Park where we people living in recovery and the supporters of people living in recovery come out for food and just a party atmosphere, music things. But we actually march from the Prairie Creek Park up around the courthouse, get our picture taken, and then we walk up. It's complete with a police escort and things like that. It's those types of things, I think, keeping us relevant. And that these social causes typically last about 5 years, right? So what you got to do as a professional working in the industry is gain as much ground as you can, plant your flag so that as momentum starts to dry, as money starts to dry, as support starts to dry, you've at least planted your flag, right? So like, Frankfurt's different. Frankfurt is just different. I don't know how else to explain it. People from other counties come here and they ask us how we do this. They get on the horn with me and Laura saying, how do we do this in our community? And everything that we do, like, nothing we do is proprietary, right?
Right.
They can take it and they can go to their own communities. We just have the right leaders and we have support. And I think a lot of that is keeping this conversation active, coming on the radio, talking to this demographic, things like that. Being parked in front of people that I wouldn't ordinarily be parked in front of so that they can see me when they think about addiction and not just a needle on the street or somebody passed out. They can see my face because I'm the exact same person. I think that to answer your question, it's to keep recovery in the conversation. It's to keep it alive. It's to keep it in the community. And it's starting to pay dividends in where the first time that we had the Recover Out Loud down there, like 4 years ago, but there was about 40 people there, and most of it was my staff. We had like 200 last year.
Holy
it was
cow.
People that are marching in the streets in front of their peers, in front of their coworkers, saying that I'm living in recovery or I support an individual in recovery. And the coolest thing was we gave everybody purple shirts that was living in recovery or identified as living in recovery, and all the supporters yellow shirts. And the supporters outnumbered us 3-1. And that's so indicative of the momentum that we have here with regard to addiction recovery. Like, I'm the luckiest guy in Oak in this community. If I tried to do this somewhere else, I'm not sure it would.
Sure.
I'm not sure I'd last.
Chris Ward, again, is our guest, and he's the Director of Recovery and Addiction for Healthy Communities of Clinton County and Director of Trinity Hope Center. And I always think, I told Chris, I said, I'm sorry I called you so last minute, but this is kind of the time of year that we want to bring you on because there are a lot of people tonight that will be out celebrating. And for a lot of people, that means maybe doing some drinking or whatever it is they're going to do. Mm-hmm. But not everybody wants to do that. Not everybody wants to be around that. And so I think it's a great time to have Chris on to talk about some other options, which is something you guys provide.
Absolutely. So we're having, and my boss, Laura, always gives me some slack over this. She has asked for 4 years to have a New Year's Eve party. And I'm like, no, that's a stupid idea. No one's going to come to that. Everybody's celebrating with their family. So finally last year, she's like, look, why don't we do this New Year's Eve party? I'm like, fine, but four people are going to come, Laura. Well, it was a packed house. It, like, by far the most successful event we've had, and we weren't prepared for that many people. And so this year we're doing it bigger. We wrote grants to ask for more money so that we can do this bigger and do more things, provide more services and prizes and things like that. So there's a lot of hype around this. So at Trinity Hope Center tonight from 7 to 10, we're going to have a sober New Year's Eve party. Music and dancing. There'll be party favors, pictures, I don't know, games, just anything you can think of we're going to have there. I would say this to people that are hosting events. You do you. It's not your responsibility. If alcohol is not your problem, if it's not creating a problem in your life, it's not your responsibility to tiptoe around to make life easier for us. What I would say, though, is that if someone is refusing a drink at your party, just offer a non-alcoholic version and move on. Because whatever the reasons are that they're not drinking, it's like almost always none of your business. So don't ask anybody why you're not drinking. If
someone that is turns the big question, drink, why aren't you having a drink tonight? What's wrong with you?
If somebody asks, that's just... It's nonsense. You don't just don't ask why you're not drinking, okay? And offer a non-alcoholic version and move on. And also, if to those people that are trying to avoid alcohol tonight, if things get too heavy, leave. If you don't have to stay anywhere, leave. And leaving is a coping skill. It's a coping strategy. And if you're trying to make healthy choices, and so I think I would say there's plenty of opportunity to go out and enjoy yourself. Recovery doesn't have to be living in a box and, not enjoying yourself.
Say that again for the people in the back.
Yes. It does not mean that it's not going to be fun. Living
Thank
in
you.
Recovery and making healthy choices does not mean that you're going to be bored all the time. I have more fun now than I've ever had in my life. I don't have to do it with drugs or alcohol.
No, you could do it in the gym. Congratulations. You had a big week in the gym, didn't you?
Yeah.
Good for you.
I had a goal.
Good.
Yeah. So that's one of my coping strategies. So, So it doesn't have to. It's not boring. It's not living a healthy life is not boring. It feels like it's going to be. I used to have to do drugs and alcohol before my kids' birthdays to feel like I could just make it. It was just a dark.
And the holidays for some folks is a dark time.
Absolutely.
There are some folks, I am one of those. I've been fortunate enough. I love the holidays. Mm-hmm. But I know that not everybody is like me, and that's okay. And so there are those folks. I talked to someone the other day that just said, I hate the holidays. I did not have a good childhood. Mm. I was in foster care. Mm-hmm. I didn't know who I was going to be with. And I was like, I'm sorry to hear that for you, because it's not for everybody.
Yeah. Well, that kind of leads me to my next point. When I think the most misunderstood thing about addiction is that it's a choice. It can obviously start as a choice, right? I spent the first couple of years of my career in addiction recovery trying to get people back to recovery, right? But recovery insinuates that things were normal at the baseline, and then it got jacked up somehow in here, and then we're trying to get you back to normal. But oftentimes, I have found that my clients were born into addiction. Like, they were born into these types of situations. Mm-hmm. And so to say that we're just trying to get them to recover is not true. We're trying to reintegrate them into a society that they don't understand how to live healthy in.
Some of it's generational.
It's generational, very much. And so it's not just that we're trying to get them to recover, and that's why the aftercare is so important, is that we're trying to literally teach them how to live in society and be productive in a healthy manner. It's something that they've had little to no exposure into.
If you could go back, what would you tell now, after you've been through all of this, what would you tell your younger self? If you are 18 years old, what would you go back and tell your younger self right now?
Well, first of all, I'd give him a hug. And I would tell him that there's a lot of people out here that's rooting for you. And I would tell him that, that is you don't have to swing for the fences. It's okay. It's okay being okay. I think we live in a society where we need instant gratification right now. We need things to go our way now. We don't want to wait. We stand at our microwaves and yell, hurry up, right? Like, we need things
so
now.
Oh, the bank's not open? What?
Oh,
the bank isn't open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week?
We need to feel better now. And then, like, you know, I'm an NFL player. I'm in the Super Bowl. I win the Super Bowl. First thing I do, I got to pop champagne because I don't feel good enough, even though I'm at the pinnacle of my profession. It goes up no higher from here, but I need to feel better, so I'm going to get drunk. We just have to feel better all the time. And so I think what I would tell an 18-year-old kid is to leave well enough alone and be okay. Learn how to be okay. Learn how to be okay being uncomfortable, because you cannot have everything you want and be comfortable simultaneously. It just doesn't work like that. That's why sacrifice is a thing, right? That's why you have to make these sacrifices and be uncomfortable. And the people that are oftentimes the most successful are the people that made the most sacrifices. I think in 20 and 30 years from now, I think all of us would give every dollar in our bank account to be back in this moment right now, right? Because I think that this present moment time is the most precious thing we have. So I would tell that 18-year-old boy to be well enough and to learn how to be comfortable being uncomfortable.
I agree. And we put so much pressure not only on ourselves but on each other to be better. What's wrong with us how we are?
Yeah.
I mean, God created us all perfectly in his vision, what he saw for us. So we're okay with who we are. But for some reason, we all feel like we need to be better. And I know we need to strive to do the right thing. But, you know, we're all perfectly us.
Absolutely. I often talk about, around 70% of my job is talking to people outside of addiction, trying to teach them about addiction and to try to reduce the stigma associated with addiction. But we stigmatize addiction within the recovery community, and that, like, we tend to compare our recovery to someone else's recovery, and they're on medicated assisted treatments, they're not really in recovery, or they say they're 4 years sober, but I saw them at the store and they look like they relapsed, so I don't think that's true. None of that's productive, and also it doesn't matter. I believe people are in recovery when they say so. And so at the end of the day, I think comparison is obviously the killer of joy, as they say. And I think also that's why we learn sometimes that we have enemies that we didn't even know we had, because people like you where they found you. And your success sometimes breeds insecurities within them. So I think one of the biggest mistakes that I made early on is to assume that people were happy for my progress. But I think sometimes people like you better where they found you. And then, as you grow, if they're not growing at the same rate, I think sometimes that kind of creates...
I totally agree with that.
Yeah.
I totally agree with that. How do you think, because you said comparison, I think of like the Kardashians and our youth that are growing up looking at these people who have had, I don't know how many procedures done, that have had liposuction or maybe lip fillers or I don't know what it is, whatever they're doing. How has social media changed the recovery community? Because it's impossible to live when Kim Kardashian was, she grew up with a lot of money. She's put a lot of money into herself. Her whole family has. I'm sorry, I don't look like Kim Kardashian, and it would take a lot of money for me to look like Kim Kardashian. I don't want to, but I'm just saying if I did, and yet our kids are subjected to that every day, to folks that they think that they need to be better and be like them.
I agree. No, I think I think social media is a poison to our youth. My kids, they're not immune to this stuff, right? They're on... YouTube and things like that, and I just try really hard to teach them that stuff's not real. And also I'm guilty of it as well. I'm not posting. I try to be as transparent as I can on social media. I don't have a lot of secrets. What you see is what you get. For the first time in my life, I'm able to live an honest life and not have to lie about who I am, who I've done, right? And there's a huge freedom associated with that. But I am guilty in that. I tend to post the good stuff. I tend to post the gym stuff where I'm reaching a goal or something like that, and not post the crappy days, the days where my head's in the sand and I require a pickup and things like that, right? So, I think it's poison. I think I don't know how you expect a child to use something like that responsibly when that's what's being shoved down their throat.
I think it's hard as a parent, for sure.
I think also, I'm the recovery guy, so I'm going to talk about recovery for a second, but I also believe that that's true in the recovery community, and that, like, our intellectual maturation process, like our emotional maturity stops, you know, when we start abusing a substance. So oftentimes, if we started using drugs at 12 and 13 years old, we started, like, actually abusing drugs at 12 and 13 years old, oftentimes what we find, like, even after we get sober and things like that, we're having to learn emotional maturity. And so it's oftentimes weaponized in that, you see this drama on social media. I watch social media bring a couple of counties' recovery communities, like, literally to their knees, because the leaders of these communities were fighting with each other. And it just looked like, a middle school argument. And so it's just as poisonous to the recovery community and adults as it is to children as well, I believe.
Mm-hmm. What is the biggest thing? You know, you're standing out on the courthouse square. Let's everybody's in town. What is Chris Ward going to tell all of those people standing on the square? What do you want them to know the most?
I want them to love each other. I just want them to love each other and have grace. No one is better than anyone. No one. Even in the recovery community, people see me as more of a provider than an actual person in recovery. But as someone absolutely no different than them, that has somehow managed to navigate about 10 years of sobriety coming up here, I needed love, and I needed other people to love each other as well. I think that someone very, very close to me shared their road to recovery, but their addiction was food. And they had the mental wherewithal, I guess, to make this video diary of themselves in the, they would pull into drive-thrus, and they would be talking to themselves in their camera, saying, "I don't know why I'm doing this. I don't even know why I'm here. Like, I shouldn't be doing this. I should." They were struggling with weight and food. And talking through that food addiction was just so similar to my addiction, so similar to, to an opioid pain medication addiction. And so it's the same. Addiction is the same across the board. It doesn't matter. And I genuinely believe that everyone has an addiction.
I've said the same thing.
We're not very eager to share those addictions a lot of times, right? But I do believe everyone has an addiction. And so I would tell them to try to leave well enough alone to love each other and to just have grace for each other.
Yourself.
Yes. Yes, and yourself.
Yeah.
That's right. I think we could always use a little more love. I think everybody can use some love.
I agree with you. It's so funny when we talk about this with holidays because, I was going through a checkout line somewhere, and the poor little cashier looked like she'd been run ragged. Mm. And I said, "Merry Christmas." And she, like, instantly her face went from, "Ugh," to, she goes, "Oh, Merry Christmas." Just brighten her face up, just be nice. Just say something kind to someone. You never know what somebody else is going through behind the scenes. And it may not be recovery. Maybe it's they have a sick family member. Maybe, I don't know, the gift that they wanted for their child didn't come in the mail. I don't know what it is, but everybody's got something, right?
Yeah.
And so I agree with you, being a little graceful. And we can all, I have to remind myself of that sometimes.
Absolutely. The thought of knowing that someone's going to be compassionate or forgiving or is just going to love on you when you go, it's going to mean the world to you. I think our mindsets are what ultimately dictates our success. But did you guys hear about the rat study, like, back in the 50s that Harvard did, right? Where they, I think I talked about this last time I was here, where they dropped rats into water They dropped him into water, and after about 10 minutes, they drowned him, so the scientists got him out just before they died. They saved him, left him out for 2 days, and then they put him back in the water. And the second time, they lasted 60 hours before they needed rescued. And it wasn't because they just found this miracle strength, right? It wasn't because they were awesome swimmers. It was because they believed they would be saved, because they believed they were going to be met with grace. And I believe that the same is true for our mindset. If we've, I don't believe there's a such thing as darkness. Darkness isn't a noun. It's not a thing. It's not a place. It's just an absence of light. And I believe that once we've lived in that environment and we've found even minimal success, navigating adversity, I believe that the hope that gives us is paramount to our success.
I agree. So tonight, big party.
Big party.
All right, we're looking forward to it.
Yeah,
give everybody details again, please.
Yeah, it's from 7 to 10 p.m. at Trinity Hope Center. That's 806 North Columbia Street. Here in Frankfort, you're going to have free food, snacks, music, dancing. There'll be party favors, cards, games. There'll be something for everybody. The kids will have a blast. The adults will have a blast. I promise you won't want to miss it. It's safe, sober fun, and you're going to be happy you came.
And if somebody would like to get a hold of you other than the party tonight,
mm-hmm.
To talk about that or something else,
absolutely.
How can they get a hold of you, or what is your recommendation there?
For sure. They can go to the Trinity Hope Center Facebook page. Definitely follow that, because that's where we put everything out. I put all of our event flyers, everything out on the Trinity Hope Center Facebook page. They can call Healthy Communities at 765-659-6063, or they can call me personally for peer recovery needs. 765-250-1845.
Chris, thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Oh, we're so glad to have you. It's always good to see you. And I can't believe I'm getting ready to say this. I guess Mel and I will talk to you next year. Seems weird, doesn't it?
Yeah. No party line tomorrow. No party line on Friday. We're giving our entire crew and giving ourselves some grace. We're going to try and actually take a day off.
Nice.
And just kind of walk into and be ready to hit the ground running on Monday. So just listen to the music, enjoy it. We're just going to play good music for the next couple of days, and then we'll come back on Monday and hit it hard. So
happy New Year, everybody.
Yep.
All right. Be safe out there. We'll see you in 2026. Take care, everybody.